Couch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys the Movies. And Kevin, we're now very virtual. Like, very, very virtual.
We're very virtual, and we're very much in the sky, yet it's still a studio.
Yes, and I'm currently messing with Texas. I just need to get that out there.
Oh, you're messing with Texas.
I'm messing with Texas. Although, can I tell a Texas story real quick?
Absolutely, tell a Texas story.
Excellent. Before I get to my Texas story.
We haven't even given contact information, just give us the Texas story.
Well, no, before I get to my Texas story, you can get a hold of us at fatguysinthemovies.com. You can also download us on iTunes. Just go to iTunes, search Fat Guys in the Movies. I believe we have a new logo on iTunes for those who didn't like the original logo. I don't know. We'll check.
Is it me naked?
Yeah, it's supposed to be new, but we'll see.
Can I tell a naked story after you tell your Texas story?
Yeah, sure. Because we don't have a whole lot of movies to talk about this week. So
no, we don't.
We're just going to talk about Naked Kevin and my Texas story. But before that, if you'd like to email us, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735.
Now, there is a voicemail, but it's from me.
Yeah. Kevin left a voicemail this week. But anyways, the Texas story is that I'm very disappointed that I was not given my complimentary gun and bottle of whiskey on the way in.
Oh, no, you get that. You get that when you have to get your new license.
Oh,
yeah. You got to be there for a while.
It's like a different story from everybody.
Yeah.
And I have just confirmed officially that we have a new logo.
Yeah. Oh, we do. Okay.
On iTunes, which is,
Naked?
I think it's pretty awesome. Yeah. Well, it's actually an amalgam of the banner on fatguysthemovies.com. Okay. So it does include Kevin naked, me looking annoyed, and the raw, irreverent, influential tagline that has become synonymous with our existence.
Yes. Well, and there's also, I think we need to bring this back. We've been called the most influential voices in film.
Yes, ever.
Yeah, so, yeah.
In the history of the world. Time.
And will ever be. There will be no one any more influential than us.
Never.
But you know what is funny? This is actually two quick naked stories. First one, I was doing a TV appearance like last week for Valentine's Day, because they wanted me to tell my favorite, my top five romantic movies.
Yeah.
And what was, and the producer was like, she's like, yeah, we're going to link to your website off the page. And this is local news. So it's relatively, stuff shirty. it's a little stiff. They don't get into irreverence and that kind of thing.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, are you going to change your front page? I go, no, it's a conversation piece. Everyone notices it.
Why would we want to change it? Obviously.
Yeah, because obviously you noticed.
It's so poignant.
Yeah, but so anyways, there's this survey. You know, they always have these surveys floating around the internet that friends take, and one of them is, how well do you know your husband? And my wife got it. It was sent to her, and she took the quiz, and then she's sitting there reading the questions to me, finding out what I would say. You know, like, what's your favorite cereal?
Right. How well do you know yourself? Type deal.
Yeah. Well, no, and then she wanted to see if she was right.
Oh, right. Okay.
And one of the questions was, what would your husband never wear? And I thought, and I'm like, gosh, I could say bikini. And she's like, no, I got you in pictures. I got pictures of you in a bikini. And I'm like, yeah, I go, I don't know. She actually said that her response was, he would wear anything.
Oh yeah. I believe it.
As long as, I think she quantified it as long as it was called for. And I'm like, well, hey, if it gets a laugh, I'll wear it. Cause I'm like, probably would never wear an evening gown because I just wouldn't have a meaning. I wouldn't have a reason to.
Yeah.
Unless I did like a Trey Parker, Matt Stone thing at the Oscars.
Oh, nice.
So.
Nice.
Anywho.
Sweet. Speaking of guys we in also. Dresses, oh, wow. Go to town with your bad self now.
Can I do that? Were you going to have a better segue?
Nope. I got nothing. Nope.
Speaking of movies about people with dresses, guys in dresses, let's review our first film. It's Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail. Tyler Perry stars in a Tyler Perry film with Tyler Perry as Madea in Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail.
Can I have some me time, please?
Did I ever ask you for some me time? What the hell is me time?
Madea, you have an anger management problem.
Fine, Cora.
Why you bail me out of jail?
Because you're a friend.
You ain't like the rest of us, Candy. If anybody can get out of here, you can.
What are you doing with her?
I was just trying to help her out.
You've helped her enough.
What is wrong with you? Why do you feel the need that you gotta get somebody all the time?
Well, when you get and got, and somebody done got you, and you go get them, when you get them, everybody's gonna get got.
Yeah, but you're getting the gotters when they didn't do anything to you
yeah,
to get you.
Yeah, but if the gotters get me, I'm gonna get my Glock.
I wonder if Tyler Perry is somehow involved in this making of this film.
Yeah, we didn't see this because they didn't screen it for critics, which is not a big surprise because they don't screen Tyler Perry movies for critics.
But they don't need to.
No, because obviously there's an audience that just like, there's an audience that will like flip up over a school bus just to see these movies because they do so well.
There's that, and there's also the fact that Tyler Perry movies are just that good. That anyone who would say something negative about them is obviously just lying through their teeth.
How many Tyler Perry movies have you seen?
All of them.
You have? No, you haven't.
They're splendid.
How many? Can you name me three Tyler Perry movies off the top of your head?
The Family That Prays, Madea 1, Madea 2.
Madea 1 is not. It's not Madea Episode 1. The Return of the Booty or something like that.
Yeah. I'm not really going anywhere with that comment. It's just more of a joke.
We didn't see this. It's going to be more. But you know what's funny? I just recently rented Diary of a Mad Black Woman because I'd never seen it. And I kind of want to have a basis of comparison for his. Because I saw the Why Did I Get Married? But that didn't involve Madea at all. It was just Tyler Perry without a dress on.
Yeah.
He had clothes, though. Because tells me he's not that good looking underneath all that sweater. And
who, khakis. Tyler Perry?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's on steroids or something, but
is he? He's in Star Trek. Star Trek and steroids. Put those together, you've got a party.
Who is he in Star Trek? He doesn't play Uhura.
Obviously not.
That's like, well, I mean, but in the old Star Trek, it was like they're like, we got our one black guy, our one Japanese guy, our one Russian guy. I think they've got all those parts filled. So what the heck is he in?
Right.
Is he a Romulan?
I really think
that
they should bring LeVar Burton back.
I think they should bring back LeVar Burton with the banana clip visor in the Madea drag.
Oh, wow. Be like his mother. What's his name's
awesome.
Mother? Whatever.
And then she could like pull
was.
A gun out of her handbag and shoot James Tiberius Kirk.
Excellent.
So,
because James Tiberius Kirk deserves it for being, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think they're going to do next? See, they got Madea goes to jail. I think they're setting the stage to remake all the Ernest movies
with
Tyler Perry as Madea.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with that because the Ernest movies had charm.
I love the Ernest
Undeniable
movies.
Charm.
I am a huge Ernest fan. I actually, this last Halloween, I bought Ernest Scared Stupid and showed it to my kids. Which,
and they
you
loved
know, when
it.
You, well, like, when you're five and seven, it did sort of turn into Liam and Ben Scared Stupid at one point.
Oh, nice.
But it had goblins in it, or trolls. Goblins. What were they?
Dude, I don't know.
But I think we're going to have Madea. Madea goes to camp. We're going to have Madea Saves Christmas. Madea, I don't know, hoops up or something like that. There was an old... Eventually, all the Ernest movies went direct to DVD. Sad state
right.
of affairs. And Jim Varney's dead.
Well, anyways... So do
this
we have
movie,
to give this preemptive suck now?
We have to. It's required by law. So
right
there you go.
Okay,
preemptive
well,
suck.
It gets a preemptive suck when we come back. What are we talking about when we come back?
Fired Up and Fanboys.
And we're back, Fat Guys in the Movies, coming
whoop.
At you. We've got, we're moving from Madea going to jail to
cheer camp.
To cheer camp, yeah. And Eric Christian Olsen playing a teenager, which is a little weird.
Because he's like 38.
In the movie Fired Up.
Right,
because he's going on 47.
Well, there's a scene I actually saw. This is a little bit of a preview of in a couple weeks. There's a movie called Miss March, which I saw early because I interviewed some of the guys in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where they're supposed to be in high school, and I'm sitting with a friend of mine watching it, and they talk to this girl, and I'm like, since when do they let 30-year-olds in high school? Because the girl, I mean, she's attractive, but she's clearly not in high school. So, same thing with Fired Up.
Right.
That was complete aside.
I mean, they haven't done it since Drew Barrymore went back to school.
That's true. As Grossy Josie? Did you not see that movie? Did you not see it? Are you just referencing movies without seeing them?
No, I saw it.
Okay. That's cool. So let's talk about Fired Up.
Anyways, Fired Up, in which two football players choose to go to cheer camp to score with the 300 chicks who also attend, .. and maybe find love.
No, you say, and maybe find love?
Love? Question mark?
Yeah.
Pumped for football camp?
2 weeks without girls, we wouldn't be bummed.
Are you guys psyched for cheer camp or what?
There's going to be 300 girls up there who want it just as much as we do.
300 girls who want it just as much as we do.
Screw football. Let's go cheer.
Donna Jones!
What a fantastic idea.
Come on, it's Nick and Sean.
You're at university now. Fire up, university.
Welcome to cheer camp.
She's such a fox.
What are you doing later?
Not you.
Anyways,
did you see this?
No, but I think you did. Didn't you?
I think I did too.
Excellent.
This is the thing. I have to say, I'm a red-blooded American guy. So put cheerleaders in a movie, and I am going to enjoy it to a certain degree no matter what.
Okay.
Because it's a lot of really hot girls who are really fit, bouncing around and doing stretches and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like Bring It On.
Yeah. You've seen Bring It On, haven't you?
I've seen Bring It On and its four sequels.
You've seen all four of them? Yeah. The thing is, sequels...
Yeah, Bring It On again.
Well, there's one I did and I actually reviewed for Film School Rejects. Bring It On, I think, In It to Win It. It was like the fourth one.
Yeah. And the Hayden Panettiere one.
No. It's the one with the girl from Secret Life of the American Teen. I mean, nobody you know who's famous is in this one. Hayden Panettiere, she was like in the second one.
Oh,
but,
really?
Hmm. Yeah, but it was, you know, even when they're not good, they're still fun to watch. You can just turn the sound
Indeed.
Off. They bounce.
Well, I guess. I'm a little uncomfortable right now.
Okay. Well, anyways, in this movie, it's really kind of from a guy's point of view in a little bit. It's sort of like Wedding Crashers go to cheer camp. Because, I mean, the setup's very much the same as Wedding Crashers. You get these two guys, they're total players, and, you know, they're just scoring with all these girls, and they go to cheer camp because they don't want to go and work out in football in the hot sun. They want to go chase tail at this camp. And it's very similar to Wedding Crashers, and sort of like the setup and the characters are even the same, and then of course, you know, one kind of falls in love with one girl, and then it kind of, even though it's raunchy like Wedding Crashers, it kind of has this heart center that is
wait
cute.
It's raunchy. I mean,
it's PG-13, so it's raunchy for PG-13, it gets
so disappointed.
It gets a little silly at times.
All right.
Yeah, but again, it's. It's a cheerleading movie. But it is funny. I mean, Eric Christian Olsen, even though he's like 45 years old, he's still funny in the movies.
I mean, he's always been pretty funny. He's just way out of place in high school.
Well, because he wasn't he
he's
in
no
not
Freddie Prinze Jr. Obviously.
Well, he was in Not Another Teen Movie like 12 years ago.
Yeah, that's the weirdest part.
Yeah.
So, who knows? But hey, you know what? If you say that it's got cheerleaders in it, I'm there.
Yeah, I'm watching this movie going, there is just something I find fascinating about this movie. And it stars Sarah Romer, who was in Disturbia, and she stunk in Disturbia. I mean, she was attractive.
I thought she was good enough in Disturbia.
Well, she was, it was like, that was the year that Shia LaBeouf starred with his leading lady, really didn't do much acting, but still was compelling to watch on screen. Because it was the same year that Transformers came out. But Sarah Romer, I mean, she's attractive. She is very attractive. But she actually acts a little bit in this movie, which... Because I honestly didn't remember her from Disturbia because I was so unimpressed with her performance. I liked her. I liked watching her in the movie, but I wasn't impressed with her performance. I thought she was kind of cute in this one.
So, I see. Okay. There you go. Well, hey, man, I'll buy that.
I liked it. that's
all right, so cool. What's the official grade?
It gets a kind of rocks.
All right, cool. Well, that works. Yeah. Moving on, the movie that I'm actually going to see tonight after we're done recording.
Yes.
Fanboys.
Yes.
Introduce this one for us.
Yes. Four
since
friends.
You saw it and I hate you.
Oh, okay. Four friends plan to break into the Skywalker Ranch to watch a rough cut of episode one before their buddy dies of cancer.
We storm the ranch or we die trying.
This is a suicide mission.
Strap in, fellas.
Skywalker!
It's all there. Maps, passcodes.
How did you score all this stuff?
Are you kidding? I'm William Shatner. I can score anything.
Oh, come on!
Quick, into the garbage chute!
Feeling about this.
You guys don't think that the
we are in George Lucas's trash room.
The walls are not gonna close in on us.
Ah, why?
Before you even talk about a review, we have to sort of give a nod to the giant. Is conspiracy a good or controversy? Controversy is a better word.
There's controversy around it. I have a story about that actually.
Okay.
Our managing editor over at FSR, Cole, interviewed Kyle Newman this week. Yeah. He interviewed Kyle Newman, the director, and he was very, very nonchalant. I don't know if nonchalant's a good phrase for it. He was just kind of very not affected by the whole controversy as much as like fans would be.
Yeah.
And I think that was very interesting to me because, you know, his response to it all, and you'll be able to read this on filmschoolrejects.com, is more of a, well, you know, the business is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how it happens sometimes. Whereas fans were very angry that it was delayed.
Yeah, well, let's explain what the controversy is. In case you're listening, you don't know what it is. What happened was it was like finished 2 years ago, and then the Weinstein Company picked it up, but then they were like not going to release it, and then they wanted to change it and do reshoots and take out the cancer subplot. And then they were just going to go to direct to DVD, and then they delayed, and it actually caused this internet movement where people, they started a website called Stop Darth Weinstein, because they were thinking he was just destroying the film that was a fanboy, that would become a fanboy favorite. And and then finally the Weinsteins kind of gave in and said, okay, we'll give it a release, and they're sort of rolling it out. It's like coming into 10 cities or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's already out here in Austin.
So yeah, well, it opened last week.
There.
But it like opened so like there. Austin, New York, and LA. It was like only a couple.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Because Austin's where all the cool kids live,
well,
obviously.
Not now. Not now that you showed up. They're leaving. Well, here's the thing. My opinion of the movie, and I'll be curious to find out if you agree with me when we talk next. It's it's funny that it's about episode one because it takes place in 1998. And if you remember, like when you were like four, if you remember in 1998 when episode one came out, there was ridiculous amount of hype, and it was more about it's another Star Wars movie than actually just being a movie. And I saw it, and I saw the flaws. I mean, yeah, Anakin couldn't act, and Jar Jar Binks was annoying, and the pod race went on way too long, and it was really about 30 minutes of story stretched out into a 2-hour and 10-minute movie. But it was another Star Wars movie, so for me it was fun to watch, and I loved it, and I enjoyed it as a fan. But it was kind of hard to soberly look at episode one outside of all the hype, because that's all it was for like 3 years leading up to it. And fanboys is kind of in the same way. The hype, I think, is going to work against it, because people have been waiting to see this movie so long that it's never going to live up to what you hope it could be. If this had just come out as an innocuous movie, and I'd gone seen it as a screening, I'd be like, that was a funny movie. And I totally identified. I got every single joke, and I never get every single joke in a movie. I'm like, oh yeah, Dantooine, that's the planet that, you know. So, I mean, I know all these references to Star Wars and Star Trek and everything. And it was cute, and it was funny, and it's a good movie. Definitely go see it. But, you know, you kind of have to clear your head before you go see it, because if you've been dying to see this movie for 2 years, you might get disappointed.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's what I have to say.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to go see it, and because I've been waiting to see it for a long, long time. And I know there were like members of our staff who saw it back at Comic-Con.
Yeah, because they screened it at Comic-Con,
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see. But I'm excited. It's one of those love letter movies to fandom in general.
Well, and if you are a fan, you'll totally identify with it. I mean, you'll be like, I know that, and I get that. So, yeah.
Yep.
So.
Cool, man. Well, when we come back, we're going to do a little Oscar chat. That'll
well, it kind of rocks. I have to get my full Gatorade.
Oh, all right. Well, now we'll do Oscar chat.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
So, Neil, this last week was kind of a big deal in the box office, if you remember.
Yeah, dude. Totally.
Friday the 13th slashed through the record books. Now it actually, when the actuals came out, it wasn't, it was just barely under the record, I think. But it still did phenomenal business.
Made $41 million.
Yeah, people were predicting 30s, the low 30s for this movie. And it's funny, I actually saw an article. I was going through some old articles on like IMDb. Mm-hmm. And it had this article about, well, this weekend's going to be kind of a weak weekend of the box office. No one's really going to want to see Friday the 13th. And it just like went crazy at the box. And it worthwhile. It was a fun movie.
And you know why? And I think there are going to be a lot of readers who are going to shake their heads yes right now. Because the first 20 minutes of that movie were absolutely brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, shake people. Their head or you not, heard not that their here. Head. You heard that here first. Nod your heads. Do it.
And well, they might be listeners instead of readers.
And I would also like to point out that Taken continues to stay in the top five.
Well, Taken's an awesome movie.
Yeah.
And it's good. This time of year, this actually, I have to say, for January, February, this is probably one of the better January, Februarys on record. I remember like in 2005.
Since Codename the Cleaner came out, obviously.
Well, no, like in 2005, it was like just a nonstop onslaught of terrible movies. But what's nice about this year is even when they're terrible movies, like Paul Blart Mall Cop, and I know there's people, it's a terrible, it's still sort of escapism crap, but it's fun to watch. It's like a Big Mac, you know, it's not good for you, but it tastes good going down kind of thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of the early year, like it's almost like Hollywood has kind of figured out the groove of the modern media that people, they appreciate the award films, but they're kind of tired of them.
Yeah.
And let's just see some slasher movies and naked.
Let's
naked
see
ladies.
Willa Ford water ski naked and then get just stabbed in the head with a machete. Naked.
Actually, the one I liked the other girl who was the stupendous girl. In Friday the 13th. That was my favorite.
Nice.
Anyways, you have to know that movie. So yeah, Friday the 13th did very well. What do you think's going to win this weekend?
Madea.
Just a little bit, huh?
Just a lot.
Yeah.
Well, but I think Friday the 13th is going to hold strong.
Oh yeah, Friday the 13th is going to do well, but Madea is, I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking 30 million. I think it's just going to do crazy, crazy business. And I don't think the Oscars are going to impact the box office much at all because nobody cares about them this year.
Well, unless you want to watch Hugh Jackman sing and dance and watch trailers for movies like Transformers.
Yeah, but see, all this stuff, it's all going to be on the internet, you know, in like 20 minutes anyways. Mm-hmm. I really think I predict that they're going to come out on Monday or Tuesday. There's going to be a news release. It's like the lowest rated Oscars ever. And it's because they're competing against the internet. They're competing against DVR. Now, DVR and like direct downloads, Hulu and that kind of things have completely taken over. And you've got 9,000 channels to choose from. It's so much more fun to just watch either a DVD or another show and just check IMDb on your laptop.
Right.
To see who wins. Because no one wants to see the song and dance. Do you remember last year? Because you and I watched the Oscars last year together. And there was that old, there's like the guy who was like 865 years old who came out.
Yeah, and he was
on
for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, and he's like, it's like you had Nicole Kidman there and he's staring at her rear the whole time.
Well,
and he's just rambling the whole time. And he's going on and on. And they're like, well, should we play him off? Because he's like really old. And it's one thing to play off the girl from Once, but it's another thing to play him off, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm interested to, you know, we're gonna obviously be covering the Oscars and live tweeting the Oscars on filmschoolrejects.com, so look out for that. We'll have
Can I throw one more thing in there about the Oscar audience?
Yeah, go ahead.
The big movie, I think the one that's going to win is Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail.
Yes.
And if you look at the Oscar categories, and because Tyler Perry's, and this is, you know, for fear of stepping into a racial bear trap, the Tyler Perry movies obviously speak to a very strong black audience.
Right.
And while there are other African Americans nominated, like Viola Davis and Taraji Henson, they're not favored. It's not like that's they're true. If they win, it's going to be an upset. So I don't think the sort of like the audience that would go to the Madea movies doesn't give a crap about the Oscars.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't think it's going to draw. Now, like I'll give you an example. If it was a Bollywood movie coming out this week, it would suffer from the Oscars. Yeah, because the Bollywood crowd is very interested in, very, very interested in the Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of Slumdog Millionaire, let's talk about the Oscars. Let's do our
is that this weekend?
Yeah, our world famous fat guy Oscar rundown.
That's right.
And
well, we're not going to go through all of them because I really don't care who's going to win best costume design.
Yeah, we're just going to do like the big six and maybe a few other random ones. But, okay. But we'll definitely do the big six, which is we'll start with best picture. I think we should just get that one out of the way.
And, yeah, it's not a big surprise.
Yeah. So just to refresh, the nominees are Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire. Not The Dark Knight. Get over
it. What about Witless Protection with Larry the Cable Guy?
Obviously not. So I'm going to go out there and just say... and also director, because I think they're pretty much the same nominees.
Well, they are. And usually they have like four that are the same and they have one that splits.
Yeah. Like last year when What's-His-Name from Diving Bell and the Butterfly got nominated for Best Director.
Yeah.
But...
And it's not uncommon sometimes that that'll then push the wins, like where Gladiator won and Steven Soderbergh won for Best Director. You know, where you have a split like that.
Yeah, but I don't think there's going to be a split. I think Slumdog Millionaire is going to take it, and I think that Danny Boyle is also going to win Best Director. And I think if that happens, I'll be very, very happy with, kind of the way the Academy rolled this year.
Well, and the Curious Case of Benjamin Button leads with the most nominations, but I don't think it's going to win anything.
Well, I think it might win visual effects. I think if it won visual effects, that'd be very cool because it's a very unique
visual
film.
Effects or cinematography, I think it actually has a shot at. But like the major award, it hasn't won any major award. It hasn't won Best Picture anywhere. Hasn't won. I mean, it's doing very well in the foreign box office, and it's the highest grossing of the Oscar movies.
Right. But I really just feel, though, that this is the year of the Slumdog.
Yeah, I totally think everything's leaning towards Slumdog. Yeah, Milk is the only thing that I think might pull it out. But
and there's a lot of people that think The Reader could upset, but if that happens, I'll be disappointed. I like The Reader a lot, but...
I love The Reader.
I don't think it was as good as Slumdog Millionaire. So, moving on to... we'll do actor in a leading role next.
Okay.
And your nominees are Richard Jenkins for The Visitor, Frank Langella for Frost Nixon, Sean Penn for Milk, Brad Pitt for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler.
And the winner, I think Mickey Rourke's going to win.
Really?
That's the favorite one. I'm kind of just going by buzz. I'm not saying who I think necessarily should win. Mm-hmm. If I were to choose, I'd say Sean Penn. But Mickey Rourke, he won the Golden Globe. He's really got the buzz going on, and he hasn't stuck his foot in his mouth lately. So I think that whole little F word incident is forgotten about.
Yeah. Well, I think, I feel like this will be the upset category.
Really?
And I feel like it could be... I really feel like it'll probably be Sean Penn. But yeah, I feel like it should be Frank Langella. It just should be.
Would be surprised if Frank Langella wins. I think that Sean Penn has a chance. If you were to say kind of like the next chance. But
yeah.
I don't know. I just think Mickey Rourke, he's got too much good buzz going around him in the industry and out of the industry. Yeah.
So moving on, let's do the next one, which is the easy one, which is actor in a supporting role.
Mm-hmm.
In which you have nominated Josh Brolin for Milk, Robert Downey Jr. for Tropic Thunder, best nomination of the year, by the way. Philip Seymour Hoffman for Doubt, Heath Ledger for The Dark Knight, and Michael Shannon for Revolutionary Road. I think this one is pretty obvious.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I read somewhere, the Vegas odds, they do like 10 to 1 or 1 to 8 or something like that. The odds, if you were to put money on Heath Ledger, is 1 to 100, which basically means you'd have to put $100 down for Heath Ledger to win. You would only win a buck.
Wow.
That is, it is literally the best odds you can have on anything. I have a better shot of winning GQ Model of the Year than these other four guys have of winning Best Actor. Just best supporting actor this year.
Yeah.
So, and it's actually kind of, that's a shame, even though I thought Heath Ledger deserves it for his role. It was a great role. Mm-hmm. But these guys, Josh Brolin, Downey Jr., Michael Shannon, and even Philip Seymour Hoffman,
all great.
Great performances. Some of the best ones out there.
Yeah.
So,
Okay, well, yeah. Moving on. Actress in a leading role. We have Anne Hathaway for Rachel Getting Married, Angelina Jolie for Changeling, Melissa Leo for Frozen River, Meryl Streep for Doubt, and Kate Winslet for The Reader. Now, I'm saying that Kate Winslet's going to win.
Really?
But don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if it is either Anne Hathaway or Melissa Leo.
This is the one where I'm predicting the upset, because Frozen River was such a completely obscure, unknown movie, and it's not bad. It's a decent movie, but it's shown up on a lot of these awards. It's relatively high profile on the voting audience,
right?
And the fact that she got nominated, if you look at everyone, all these other movies are major stars that you've heard of before, and then here's Melissa Leo. This to me is the WTF win. I really think if I were to put money as the safe bet, I'd say Meryl Streep. But I really think I wouldn't be surprised if Melissa Leo pulls this out. And that's going to be the one that everyone's going to be like, huh? Who the heck's this person?
Yeah. Who's Marianne Cotillard?
Wouldn't it be great if she came up to accept, if she wins and came up to accept the award in like a bra and panties, all her tattoos, and a bathrobe smoking a cigarette?
That'd be kind of funny. That's
how she looks in the movie.
Okay. Well. I mean, that would be interesting, I suppose. But if you ask me who I thought should win this, I'm saying Anne Hathaway. Totally. Yeah, Anne Hathaway.
You want to sleep with her. The problem with Anne Hathaway, that was such like the Angelina Jolie performance. Both her and Angelina Jolie, it was so clearly the Oscar grab. Whereas like Meryl Streep and Kate Winslet, it's like that's just a role that they took. But like both Anne Hathaway and Angelina Jolie, it was just like, I want an Oscar movie. Let's do this.
Right.
You know, like Angelina Jolie, there's that ad for her with The Changeling where she's like, I want my son and I want my Oscar. So there you go.
Okay, moving on. Actress in a supporting role. The nominees are Amy Adams in Doubt, Penelope Cruz for Vicky Cristina Barcelona, Viola Davis for Doubt, Taraji P. Henson for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Marissa Tomei for The Wrestler. What do you think?
I think who's going to win is Penelope Cruz for Vicky Cristina Barcelona. She's the favored, and also she did a great job in the role. I'm not a big fan of hers, but she did a good job.
She was okay.
Yeah.
I think Amy Adams is going to win. I think if Amy Adams doesn't win, I will be very upset.
Well, wham-boo-hoo. But no, I'd like to see Marissa Tomei win, because I support anybody. Who gets that naked and looks that awesome as a stripper in a movie.
Yeah. Cool. And I have one more to ask you about. Animated feature. Best animated feature. We have Bolt, Kung Fu Panda, and WALL-E. My money is on Kung Fu Panda with the upset.
I have to say, if WALL-E does not win, I will blow up the Academy of Motion Pictures, Art, and Sciences.
Excellent. Sweet. And on that note, it is time to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap you up. Back and we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys the Movies.
Yeah.
Now that we've had the required amounts of reviews and terrorist threats on the show, it is time to do the DVD roundup. So Kevin, what are your DVD picks of the week?
I've got two, and one of them is I got to give a shout out. And you're going to make fun of me for this, but I'm going to say High School Musical 3, senior year.
You're so gay.
Well, no, but the reason for this is two reasons. I'm a Disney whore.
Because you will pimp anything Disney sends you.
Well, but no, the other thing, people railed again. This is the reason why I support movies like High School Musical 3. There is a whole contingent of people out there who will rail on the movie and never see it. I don't care if you go see the movie and you think it's the worst movie ever and you complain about it, but to not see it and complain about it, we got reviewers on Film School Rejects, and people are like, well, I would just never see a movie like that. I can't stand that attitude. So that's why it's a pick of the week, because I think people should see it, and if you hate it, fine. But, you know, give it its fair due. And then there's Quarantine.
I can't wait. What? Can I just stop you for a second and say that I cannot wait until Disney releases a Tyler Perry movie? Then you're gonna love it.
No. I didn't like
Swing Vote. Rub it all over your body.
There's a lot of crows. I didn't like Swing Vote. I mean, there's Disney movies I don't like, but I'm like, just give it.
Oh come on, that was a Touchstone movie.
Well, that's Disney.
I know, but it wasn't exactly Disney. It was kind of half and half.
Okay.
Anyways, what's your other pick?
Quarantine with Jennifer Carpenter.
Manly pick.
Yeah, and Super Rabies. It's awesome.
Super Rabies is always good. Super Rabies and Dexter's wife.
Is that Jennifer Carpenter?
Jennifer Carpenter is now married to Michael C. Hall.
Wow.
Which is weird because she plays his sister on the show.
Well, here's
the best show ever, by the way.
Here's another thing that bothers me about Quarantine and sort of like just the fanboys on the internet. They're like, this is just like REC, the Spanish movie or whatever that, what is a remake. And they're like, I don't see why they just don't re-release it as the Spanish movie. I'm like, same reason they remade The Ring and remade The Grudge. And the reason they remake movies is because...
because most Americans don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Unless you live in Texas.
That's
which
true.
It's okay.
Well, no. Most Americans still don't speak Spanish in Texas. All the illegals do.
No. Oh, come on. Wow. We can't never do a remote show from Austin.
Well, no, you actually
have
pretty far.
All of our Austin listenership wanting to kill you.
Dude, have you ever been in El Paso, Texas?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. You have a different...
Maybe I have. Who knows?
Take a trek down about 6 hours and you'll find a different...
Oh,
start.
It's south? Oh, yeah. I'm not going there.
Yeah, duh.
So, anyways.
What's your pick?
My pick of the week is Body of Lies.
Yeah, Body of Flies. Because,
well, actually, no, it's really the Blu-ray Body of Lies, and I'm under the impression that DVD is just as good, and it just had a ton of really awesome special features, and I felt like it's a well-rounded DVD. It's a good movie. It's good enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, any movie that really kind of rounds out the experience with some great special features is, you know, worth it in my book.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Awesome. Hey, I want to throw one more pick out there because MGM, and it's a little late because it probably came out last week, but I just recently received it from the studio. Yeah. MGM has re-released a box set of all like 192 episodes of the Pink Panther, not the movie, but the cartoon.
The TV show.
It's like 20
cartoon. Oh, awesome.
20 hours of Pink Panther episodes. It is awesome. Yeah. It's like it's thicker than a Stephen King novel. It's awesome.
Yeah. Also, I have one more pick as well.
Yeah.
Go by Choke.
Choke.
With Sam Rockwell.
That's right.
It is awesome.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Awesome, 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 right. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Shall we go
awesome.
Into the stinker of the week?
The stinkers.
Yes. Do you want to go first?
We each get one. I'll go with Still Waiting because it's the sequel to the, I don't care what year it came out, movie Waiting with Ryan Reynolds.
The mildly.
And this one's not funny. The only returning star from this is, well, it has Chi McBride in it, but he's kind of hurting, and Andy Milonakis. And Andy Milonakis is not going to carry this movie.
Who's that?
So, I mean, this movie to me is borderline abomination.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, you're really
sticking
your neck out.
I mean, this is like National Lampoon's prom surprise bad.
Oh, okay. Well, good for you.
I mean, so there you go.
Well, my stinker of the week is Religious by Bill Maher. And I say this because when I railed against people who make fun of movies that they don't see, I actually went and watched Religious. And I'm not a big organized religion fan, and I think a lot of it's silly, but it's literally just Bill Maher going out, finding the most extreme whack jobs in all the religions, interviewing them, and then just making fun of them. And it's not funny because he basically even states, he says, 16% of the population is atheist. And so he's basically making the movie for 16% of the population. It's all of his obnoxiousness from Politically Incorrect splattered onto the screen, and I think Bill Maher is a big D-bag, so there you go.
I like Bill Maher, so I'm going to go get this one.
Yeah,
so anyways,
sort
moving
like
on,
your
review wrap-up time.
Like your death of a president, but debacle.
Hey man, let's not mention that. That's different. time for the review wrap-up. We're going to ask Kevin what he thought of all these movies. First is Fired Up, the cheerleader comedy.
Kind of rocks, lots of jigglies.
Lots of jigglies. All right. Well, interesting. Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail gets a preemptive suck. But we have a feeling that if you're really excited about this movie, you're probably going to A, like it, and go see it whether or not we tell you to.
And C, not listen to our show.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's that. Fanboys, which Kevin said...
kind of rocks.
And I'm really excited to see. Next week, Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li. Crossing Over and the Jonas Brothers 3D concert event, which I know Kevin is like waiting in line for.
I'll be first in line.
So, in between now and then, get us at fatguysthemovies.com or get us on iTunes. Make sure you write your iTunes reviews. And that's all she wrote.